I'll ask for your prayers, the Lord, to bless these words we have today. This morning, my little burden is warning against disrespect. Warning against disrespect. My little burden comes from the book of Jude. I'd like to ask you to turn to Jude. If we read a little bit here. You've heard me say that some of the most precious and sacred things that people do to God, we do in these worship services where we come together. We are about to have a meeting. A meeting begins a week from today. And it is our desire that the Lord would send those who can come to us, ministers of His choosing, people who have a heart and a burden to be with us in service. It is always our desire that souls be benefited. And it's our real desire that we do the things that we do, and everything that we do is in mind that we have a Heavenly Father that has afforded us the opportunities to come together and to hear from His Word. He has chosen by the means of revelation to expose us to some of Him through the Word of God that we have, which was revealed to man by the Holy Spirit and inspired them to write those things down that the Lord gave to them. The Bible is the revelation of God. It's the heart and mind of God coming to humanity. And we ought to be very thankful for what we have from the Lord by way of revelation. And what He has given to us through revelation teaches us that we are to live careful lives. That we ought to live lives that are respectful to one another, respectful to God, and that when we come together, that we conduct ourselves in a way, in a fashion, that is respectful again to each other and respectful to the things that are contained in the Scriptures. We ought not come into the presence of God in a meeting or a service with any desire other than to glorify Him. The things that are said or done to glorify Him. And anything outside of that, anything where my flesh becomes involved, anything where I am trying to promote my way or disregard the things of God and do what I wish to do and what I want to do, whether that's in a worship service, whether that wherever it may be, is a selfish motivation. It's a selfish motivation. And that is a disrespect and affront to God. God has given everything that could possibly be given to humanity so that we could understand and know how to live for Him and serve Him. I will say this, make this little comment. There are many things that you and I embrace as a way of life, and I am thankful that we have those things presented to us and things that have been taught to us. But there are things that you and I do that, as in serving the Lord, that maybe not everyone would understand. Maybe not everyone has the same conviction. I believe the Lord wants to bring us to the unity of faith. He wants to bring us into a place where we understand that there is a biblical requirement, a biblical doctrine of holiness and purity and righteousness. That's a Bible doctrine. The Bible doctrine of teaches modesty. There is a Bible doctrine of modesty. There are things within modesty that are standards. Now, there's the doctrine of modesty, where we are to present ourselves modestly. The Apostle Paul, I believe it was, in writing to Timothy, said, in modest apparel. Modest apparel isn't specifically spelled out in the Scripture how it is to be. But there is a standard. There is a standard which we embrace as a body of believers that we feel that the Lord wants us to adhere to. One of those, I will say to you, that the doctrine is modesty. Long sleeves is a standard. Doctrine is modesty. Long dresses, or skirts, is a standard. Modesty is the doctrine. There is also a doctrine of the place for a man and a woman to be respectful of their place to God as man and woman. The Scripture says it's a shame for a man to have long hair, but a woman's hair is given to her for a covering. Her hair ought to be long. So there's a doctrine, and then there are standards. With those standards come the ability for you and me to tweak them. With those standards come the ability for you and me to say how I want to define the standard, how I want it to be. There is one doctrine. There really is a standard of holiness, all right? A standard of righteousness, a standard of purity before God. But there are many different ways, and this is where we get into trouble in our humanity about how to define the specific standard. I'm not going to stand before you here today and try to define them all. It would be fruitless for me to try to do it. The Lord must bring people to a place of understanding and conviction in their own hearts and minds as to the standard that He wants you to embrace. But this I will say, that if we disrespect those things, those standards that we feel that the Lord has given to us as safeguards and protections, we put ourselves in jeopardy. So my little burden is warning against disrespect. Now here in the book of Jude, we'll pick up with verse 8. Now I will grant to you that in the book of Jude here, it appears to me that this book is speaking about those who have ministered, those who have been in places of responsibility or leadership, those who were part of the disciples and apostles of the Lord, who slipped away, fell away, who followed their own whims and wishes and fancies and desires, and left the fundamental teachings that Jesus had presented to the apostles. And Jude is saying to us, as we read these scriptures that we're about to read, to be very careful how we conduct ourselves in the face of an Almighty God. With this thing always in our mind, the background, God Himself has chosen by His Holy Spirit to reveal Himself to us by His Holy Spirit, and He has granted to us through His Son, Jesus Christ, the means of our salvation. We ought to respect that. We ought to have high regard for what God has done for us. So, Jude says, in contrast to that, there are people who have chosen to go their own way. There are people who have chosen to discredit and disregard. There are people who have chosen to gainsay and disrespect the things of the Lord. And to those people, he says, these are the warnings, beginning with verse 8. Likewise also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Those are strong words right off the bat here, folks. They defile the flesh, despise dominion. And I'll tell you, if ever I was in a time where dominion is being despised, it is today. It seems as though people have lost almost all respect for any level of authority. I hesitate to insert any type of political things in the worship service. But one of the things that I have noticed just recently is the total disrespect for anyone to have a differing opinion. My opinion isn't always going to be the same as yours, and yours isn't always going to be the same as mine. I may not agree with your opinion. You may not agree with mine. But I do not well to disrespect you as a human being just because my opinion is different. I do not well to do that. One of the things to me that is a fundamental principle to keep in mind here is that God has given to every human being the ability to make choice. And God Himself will respect that choice. Lord, help me to be able to do it without being disrespectful. So these despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. There's another one, folks, that I think we ought to be very careful about. Speaking evil of dignities. Of those who have the place of responsibility, those who have the place to make decisions, those who have the place, who have been selected, elected, chosen, whatever means, who have that responsibility, if to speak evil of them is warned against in the Scriptures. We'll look at that in just a little while, found farther in this little passage. And let's remember that the Lord wants us to be respectful and courteous. Now, there were times whenever He put out some hard sayings against the scribes and the Pharisees. But He did those things out of a heart that was concerned for them and wanting them to do right. But we do not well to allow our anger to be a part of our responses to these kinds of things. Speak evil of dignities. And then look at this next verse. Look at the next verse. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." To me, that scripture is telling me right off the bat that Michael, the archangel, did not discourteously and disrespectfully handle the enemy, the devil, the enemy of our souls. He didn't bring a railing accusation against him. He said, "The Lord rebuke thee." May we be careful in the way that we handle things, the righteous things, the pure things, even things that you and I would strongly and vehemently disagree with. May the Lord help us to be careful how we handle those things. Jude has some very specific and unique and strong language about that in warning to us. But these, in verse 10, these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. They follow after their own mind. They follow after their own selfish ideas and selfish motivations. The things that I want, the things that I will do, they corrupt themselves. As brute beasts, they just follow after those things and corrupt themselves. Woe unto them. This little verse is also pretty strong. Woe unto them. For they have gone in the way of Cain, ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Who was Cain? Cain was a murderer. Cain was the first murderer in the Scriptures that we have record of. What caused that? They've gone after the way of Cain. Pride. Haughtiness. Disrespect for religion. Restlessness under the restraints of virtue. Remember what the Lord said to Cain? He said, "Cain, if you do well, you'll be accepted." The Scripture says about Cain that he was angry, he was wroth, because the Lord had respect to Abel's sacrifice, but to Cain's sacrifice, the Lord had not respect. There was a reason for that. God did not mishandle Cain. God did not treat him with disrespect. He reasoned with him. He said to him, "Cain, if you do well, you'll be accepted." If you'll listen to the instruction that I have for you, it'll go well with you. If you'll take the time to hear what I have to say, you can be accepted also. But Cain, rather than being willing to hear instruction, accept instruction, receive instruction, and abide by instruction, pushed back against it. He wouldn't hear. He had pride. He was haughty. He disregarded the counsel of God. He was restless under the restraints of righteousness. Can I say this today, folks? There are some restraints in living right. There are things that you and I must be willing to put off of this man, of this body, of this flesh, if I will please my Maker. There are things that I must be willing to put on if I will please my Maker. Because it's not about me. It's not about my want to's. It's not about my comforts. It's about me pleasing the One who made so many things available to me and pleasing the One who loved me enough to send the Savior to die in my stead. That's what it's about. There will be restraints. There will be things that you and I cannot do. There will be places you and I cannot go. There will be things that you and I cannot participate in because there are restraints to virtue. Cain had envy. He envied that his brother was favored over him. Folks, be careful. Let's be careful that we not allow those kinds of things to be a part of the fabric of our life. Jude said they've gone in the way of Cain. These folks who follow this path have gone the way of Cain. They ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. You remember what Balaam did? He had an offering presented to him of some increase, a reward, if he would go against the counsel of God. And he was willing to follow that path. Balaam was willing to follow that path. Covetousness. What the underlying message here is me. Selfishness. What I wish. What I want. Korah. Folks, this one about Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. I would recommend to you, when you have the time, I believe it's in Numbers chapter 16, to read the account of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. These men stood up in opposition to Moses and Aaron. They said to him, if you'll just allow me to paraphrase, you take too much on you. You've taken too much responsibility. We're just as good as you. We can do just as good as you. We understand just as much as you. You've taken too much on you, so we're going to have to say it's time for you to step back and let us step into place of responsibility and authority. They rebelled against the authority of God. God had chosen Moses to be the leader and Aaron to be the priest. And they had tried to usurp. They wanted to usurp that place. They contradicted Aaron. They contradicted Moses. They contradicted God. They spoke out against God. They spoke out against Moses. They spoke out against Aaron. They said, you have taken too much upon yourselves. Moses, in dealing with the situation, became very frustrated with them. He said, you have taken a very, very dangerous step to try to usurp the place. May I say this morning, folks? We ought to be very, very careful that we not make effort to usurp God in projecting what is our opinion of holiness, righteousness, purity. The Scriptures will do a good enough job for that. Again, there are standards. There are standards. But we have to be careful how we handle those things. Korah, they've gone after the gainsaying of Korah. All right? These are spots, verse 12. These are spots in your feast of charity. Back up to Korah, Dathan and Abiram. Moses called them to account and he said, every man stand in his tent. Every man with his household to your tents. And he said, if these men are in error, then may the ground, the earth, open up and swallow them and all of their family. Everything that pertains to them. And hardly before Moses got the words out of his mouth, the earth opened up, swallowed them, collapsed back upon them. Folks, serious business in the eyes of God to go after the path of Korah, go after the path of Cain, go after the path of Balaam. And that's why Jude brings it out to us. Be careful how we show respect or disrespect. Be careful. These are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts. Their mouth speaketh great, swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that they told you there would be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. There are things, folks, that you and I are to do, and some things that we're dealing with, as it says, some have compassion, making a difference. There are things that you and I have to understand that the Lord wants us to look at some things and make a difference in them. The Lord gives us that ability. The Lord gives us the ability to look at situations as they develop, to actually look at the way people's lives unfold before our eyes, to see the direction they're taking, the course of life, the tack that they're taking, and to make a difference. I have to be able to, in my own ability, look at situations, see where people are going. You have the right to do it with me. You have the right to observe my life, watch where I'm going, and make a distinction, make a difference. Am I following the tenets of the Scriptures? Am I doing the things where I try to conform with an honest heart, try to conform to the Word of God, where I honestly try to conform to the things that are taught, have been taught as standards, things that I ought to do, that I ought to embrace? I said to the folks there in the meeting in West Virginia, there comes a time. Well, the Lord's Scripture says, grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord. There comes a time, there's a place where we teach our young people. We teach them Bible doctrines. We teach them standards. We ask them to embrace them. We want them to be exposed to them. We want them to see, hear, and know what these things are. And what I have experienced is that as we present those kinds of things to them, there is a time, when they are trying to embrace those things out of conformity. To conform. To try to do the right things without having real understanding, but conformity. But there also comes that time, and this is what I have observed. And it's a concern that I have. That as our children and our young people walk toward a place of having those things in their mind, standards that are taught, doctrines that are taught and presented to them, there comes a time when every one of us must have it not only in our head, but in the heart. I must have it in the heart. The only way I can have it in my heart is to have a heart that is humble, soft, pliable before God. If I follow the path that Jude is speaking about, I'll never be able to satisfy my own curiosity about things. I'll never be able to satisfy the Lord by the way I conduct myself. The only way for me to be able to satisfy the Lord is to humble myself before Him, walk in humility, and be willing to subject myself to the teachings, the precepts, the doctrines, and principles in the Scripture. When I do that, the other things fall into place. When I follow the doctrine of modesty, then the standards will fall in place. When I follow the doctrine of humility, the standards will fall in place. When I follow the doctrine of maintaining my distinction between the sexes, genders, then the standards will fall in place. When I follow those things, those standards will follow their natural place. They'll come into place in the guideline with the Lord. Thank God for that. But here's what I've experienced. This is my observation. That there comes a place in the development and the walk, the heart and the mind, where the mind understands, the mind has been taught, the mind has been given the, if you will, the do's and the don'ts, the thou shalt and thou shalt not. But at some point I have to find a place where it finds lodging in the heart. What I find is that when people try to do the letter without having the Spirit, it is a failure. It ends in failure. If we don't have the Spirit of it, if I don't understand the Spirit behind it, if I don't understand the reasoning for it, if all I am interested in is conformity to the law of it, it will end in failure. I'll not have real conviction about it. I'll not have real dedication to it. I'll not have a real desire to follow it, because it is only the letter that I am following. And when that is the case, many times, as my observation, many times people lose out with the Lord and walk away from Him, and then the process becomes, it doesn't work for me. I can blame everybody except myself. I can say that they didn't handle it right. I can say they didn't hold it right. I can say they were too strict. I can say they were too rigid. But the reason it's that way in my own mind is because I never got the real Spirit of it in my heart. I didn't really want to conform. I didn't make it my desire to really want to conform. I've heard them say it doesn't work for me. I've heard them say it's too hard. It's too strict. Bunch of old fuddy-duddies. It's not that way when you get the Spirit of it in your heart. So I have this concern. And I have this teaching I'd like to leave with you for your consideration. We're coming up in our camp meeting season. We're going to have a meeting starting here real soon. We're going to have folks who will be traveling to and from. We have a national camp meeting. It comes up toward the end of the month of July. Here's my concern. Here's my teaching to you today. I recommend that if you don't have a profession of salvation, that you shouldn't be up singing a special song, teaching, or leading in any capacity in worship service. That's what I recommend to you. If you don't have any profession of salvation, you should not be in a place where you disrespect God and disrespect those things that God's people endeavor to hold dear to their lives. I recommend that to you. I like to say this. I remember, it's been several years ago now, I had some pictures that were sent to me. I didn't have the pictures, they were sent to me. And those pictures sent to me, they came to me from someone who had concern about some things they had seen on social media. Well, sure enough, when I got the pictures, I had concern about what I saw had been posted on social media. Can I say this, folks? What you post on social media is available for anyone to see or read. What you put out there, what you're willing to say, the comments that you're willing to make on social media, whatever they may be, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever other platforms there are, I don't know what they all are. Whatever you put out there is available for public consumption. You can say, well, I'm just sending it to my friends. Well, guess what? your friends can copy and paste and send it to somebody else. They can take your images, where you go on vacation, what you do for your leisure, what you choose to do with your life. It's your business. It's not my business to try to control or regulate everything that you do in your private life. It's your business. However, if you choose to post things, images, quotes, sayings, opinions, ideas, advices on social media, and it is in violation of anything that we talk about in the Scriptures, and that becomes public consumption, and then you choose to get up in front of a group of people who say, "Wait a minute. What was this I just read just last week? What was this I saw just last week?" What you wear, where you go, and what you say is available to everyone. Folks, I recommend to you, be careful. I recommend to you, be careful. I recommend to you that if you want to be a participant in God's worship services when we all come together, folks, let us be of the same heart and mind. Let us do the things that whatever we can, that when we come together, to promote, not me, to promote God. To promote not my ideas. I shouldn't get up to sing a special song just because I have a beautiful voice. I shouldn't get up to sing a special song just because the group I've assembled sounds so good together. It should be to glorify God. It should be that I want to bring glory and honor and praise to Him. It should be that when I hear the words of the song, it is something that has some power behind it. It should be something that is a contribution to the service. It should be something that's a contribution to the tenor of the meeting. It should always, with every desire, design, should be to promote the things of God with my life, with my purpose, with my conduct. Those are my recommendations to you. And I say those things to you this morning on the backdrop of warning against disrespect. Because I can choose to, you can do whatever you want to do. I can do whatever I want to do. I can make the decisions to ride over these things and disregard everything that you think, everything that you believe, everything that you feel. I can do that. How are you going to feel about me when I do it? If that's my choice, I can do that. But then if I am going to thrust with side and shoulder and force myself upon you to, you must hear me, you must see me, and you will accept me, you're not going to have respect for me. You see, these things, folks, are very important to us. The things that you and I have been taught from the Word of God are very valuable to us. The Scripture says, to whom much is given is much required. When I've had the opportunity to hear the things of the Lord, when I've had the opportunity to sit under the anointing of God's holy Word and hear the messages going forth, instructions, teaching go forth, I will grant to you that I don't always understand. I will grant to you, I may not always be able to comprehend all that's being said, but I will grant this to you. If your heart is in the place to want to do right things, God has a way of leading you in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He has a way of doing that for you. I do understand this. There are babes in Christ. There are those who come to the Lord and they haven't had much understanding. They haven't had much teaching. And they may not understand some things that you and I might understand. And I believe the Lord wants us to be very long-suffering with those situations. And I bring it to this. There was a woman, and we've made reference to this different times, many times over the years. There was a woman, the Scriptures tell us, was taken in adultery in the very act. She was brought to the Lord. And they said, now Moses and the law say she should be stoned. What do you say? Jesus, looking at the situation with her, knew what her situation was. You know, I have every idea that that woman felt so very desperate at that moment. I'm about to die. they're going to throw stones at me. They're going to hurt. I'm going to suffer physical pain, crush my head, crush my skull. This is all that's going to happen to me. I am going to die. The Lord had mercy on her. He was willing to give her the chance to turn and walk away. You know the occasion. He said, he began to write in the ground, and one by one, he said, that's what the law says. So of you, whoever is without sin among you, you cast the first stone. And they began to walk away, one by one. They said, woman, where are your accusers? Has no man condemned you? She looked around. I believe at that moment she was hesitant. But she looked around, and they weren't there. And she says, there's no one here, Lord. It's just you and me. He says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Do I believe that she had perfect understanding of everything that she was supposed to do in her life at that point? I do not. Do I believe that there's a place where we grow in grace? I absolutely do. May the Lord help us to know the difference between the two. Jude said, some having compassion, making a difference, making a distinction, looking at the situation and knowing where the difference is. But may I encourage us this way, folks? In the fear of God, and a plea and an entreaty to us all, as we make effort to live our lives before the Lord, and as we attend services wherever we go, conduct ourselves in a way that will be pleasing and respectful to Him. Let's not do anything that would disrespect our God. I appreciate your time and attention this morning. God bless each one. Please pray for me. These things aren't easy to talk about sometimes, but they're necessary sometimes. There's only one that is going to stand between us and an eternity in hell, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We owe Him everything. Please pray for me. Amen.